Praise and thanks be to the Lord that this is true, and we may always remember what He did, not only 4 or 2,000 years ago, but in our time, in your life and in mine. Tonight too, we are thankful that we can be here and trust the Lord to bless and to speak to us and to set before us His word, to which we must all submit. There is no man who is above the word of God. Every man who wants to stand his ground before God must submit to His word. He must be subordinate. And in this we see whether we can submit under the mighty hand of God. This is often said with words, "Lord, I bow before you," and so on. And then, when His word goes forth, we do not bow, but strike out. It can happen to me as well as to you. It can happen to all of us. But I believe that we have reached the point where we have to stop playing and get serious and tell ourselves that God demands it of us and that it is worthy of Him that we make ourselves available to Him so that He can finish His work. You all know, I have to touch on a few things these days, in bits and pieces, and I hope that they will be heard by us who are here, and also by those who are not here. And I hope to God that no one has the impression that I deal out blows here. If help cannot be offered, then we can all pack up. This place is not meant to have anything bad in mind against anyone, but to put the mirror of the Word before us all and look at ourselves and, if possible, not have a bad conscience and go away and forget what we looked like, but make a good look in and say, "Lord, this is your word, and we will submit to it." One time, a dear sister, who can only be esteemed and respected, she said, "The right that the law gives me, that is mine." And it can happen, of course, that we take some rights for ourselves, even beyond the law. For if people were satisfied with the right of the law, then things would go more or less well. But they are not satisfied with it, and that is the big problem. Well, as I said, in these meetings, we want to know the will of God. And we also want to know how things are going on, want to look at how things have gone, how God has blessed, and since when things are no longer as we were used to, and maybe we and others will have to think about some things. And I mean, all the sincere ones will. I read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For this purpose the Holy Scriptures are given, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, and may be accounted perfect before God. Earthly, we will certainly have shortcomings, but the spiritual man, the divine in us, must attain perfection. There are some scriptures that we will read. The first one, to get the continuation from last night, we read from Luke chapter 2, from the prayer that Simeon pronounced over the Lord when the child Jesus was consecrated. Luke chapter 2, maybe from the second part in verse 34. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We have heard from Brother Branham the well-known word from Hebrews 4, verse 12, almost as often as Hebrews 13, verse 8. Every time he spoke about the gift of discernment, and when he was only instructed to do so, he always referred to Hebrews 4, verse 12, in connection with the gift of discernment, at least when he was speaking somewhere for the first time, and when this gift was in operation. He always referred to Hebrews 4, verse 12. And now I have to say, in the English translation, it actually says the word discernment, not like ours. Now let me read this verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here the word judge is not in the English translation, but is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Strangely enough, it is not said that it is the Spirit of God, but the Word of God, whereby the thoughts and intents of the hearts are made manifest. And that is the point we have to bear in mind. And in this context, it also says, for the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We would all say, according to our thinking, that the Spirit of God is doing things here. That is also true. But the Spirit of God does them on the basis of the Word of God. The Spirit of God takes the Word, and as the Word is brought by the Spirit, the thoughts of the hearts are revealed. And every person who wants to stand his ground before God will undergo this word test. And you all know, we have heard often enough the saying that God was not just about some prophet appearing. And we have had people here who have actually claimed to be prophets. And we must be ashamed today that we have given such people, one could almost use the expression which does not fit here at all, but some failed existences, we have given them the pulpit. And they have really brought us nothing but confusion. But a prophet of God is a word prophet who does not bring confusion, but brings us out of confusion and leads us into the clarity and truth of the Word of God. Every person who brings confusion is himself confused, and he who has clarity from God brings clarity. And we know it is written in the prophet, to whom my word is given, let him bring my word. And right behind it, it says, what does the straw have to do with the wheat? You actually have to distinguish these things. And now it is important not to throw everything overboard, gifts and ministries and so on. Far from it. But we would like to ask God from the bottom of our hearts to always put the standard of His Word into our hands of faith and to give us the grace from the bottom of our hearts to always be able to discern it. Brother Branham uses the following standard when someone needs to be corrected, and he means, or the Lord lets it be said through him, that people who are right with God accept a correction from the heart and gratefully, and people who get upset when they are corrected and fall apart, so to speak, these people need to experience God's help once again. Here, in the sermon, Church Order, I read on page 17. Now let me answer this as they come down. In respect to the order of the Church, we have tried to go accordingly in the way we understood it, given in the dedication of the new Church. Now, that's correct. You are doing right. Now, this is supposed to be deacons, I suppose. Cause it's right here. It's a deacon's job. And by doing so, people has often gotten mad at us. They do at me too. They will do at any man. See? A person that does that, there's something wrong with that person. They are not right with God. For the Spirit of Christ is subject to Christ's teaching, Christ's house, Christ's order. See? And any man or any woman or any person, children, parents, or anyone that would get angry with a godly deacon, then something is not right with them. Really, we want everybody in this church that we can get. But if that would only cause trouble somewhere else, there's a thorn or a rabbit in the woodpile, as we used to say it. That person isn't right. Someone who cannot be corrected is not right before God. Whether it is me or whoever it is, if rebuke is necessary, then it must be given, and then we must accept it. The sad thing about it all is that the most spiritual people have the greatest difficulty in obeying an instruction, because they are so spiritual that they are above it all. And this spiritual must really be put in inverted commas. Here, Brother Branham says, in the sermon Church Order, we have already quoted this recently. He says here, with reference to gifts and those who operate gifts, that a correction is in place there too. And also such people, and this concerns me, as I have said, and all, if a correction is needed, it must be made. And if God's word is the standard, then everyone must bow to it. And every spirit that does not submit to the Word of God is not the Spirit of God. You can act as spiritual as you like. Here it says, now if anyone writes down a message given by tongues or prophecy and puts it on the platform, the thus saith the Lord of the people who have spoken and interpreted must be read by the pastor before the service. If it then comes to pass exactly as the interpretation says, we all lift up our hands and thank God for His Spirit, who is among us. If it does not happen, then do not do it again until the evil spirit is out of you. God does not lie. He has always been the truth. Here is the standard. And that is why we want and need to go into the Word of God. And believe me, unexpectedly, I looked it up briefly, but I did not necessarily always want to read from Brother Branham's sermons, so as not to give the impression that I am ruminating, because you all have this sermon and can read it yourself. And what happened? I opened the sermon here, the third Exodus, and I actually read something on page 16 and 17, and it went to my heart. And I thought to myself, you must look into this in the Old Testament. And the one passage from Moses, I know it, but the other passage, I didn't know it. And I thought, look for the passage that you don't know so well. And what can I tell you? I didn't have to look for it at all. I simply opened the set of pages and had it in front of me in one fell swoop, without having to search. And I have taken it from the hand of the Lord. I am not lying, that is the truth. And I just took it from the hand of the Lord. I was still quite weighed down before. And with that moment, I knew exactly, this is the Spirit of God. You are being led here without much effort and without worry. I read from page 16, but then I'm mainly concerned with page 17. As God said, if there is anyone among you who is spiritual or a prophet, I will speak to him. If what he says happens, listen to it. That's it. But if his prophecy is wrong, then God cannot be wrong. He is infinite, infallible, omnipotent. He cannot be wrong. Yes, we all agree that God cannot be wrong. When the last prophet who was here a year ago, when he called me from India and said that God had revealed to him, provided he set foot on European soil, the greatest revival the world has ever seen begins. And you all know, when he came, what was revived then? And here, we read on. He is infinite, infallible, almighty, and he cannot be wrong. When a man speaks, it shows the man. If he were to speak his own words, it will fail. But when he speaks God's word, it cannot fail, because it is God who is speaking. Then his inspiration comes from God, and it will have to be right. Thus God said it, and it was spoken. There must be a turning point, and the turning point will not come sooner until things have been called by their names. And if they are not clear the first time, then the second, and if not the second, then the third. And if someone still passes over it the third time, as if God had not spoken or had nothing to say to us, such a person will probably have to continue on his own way for the rest of his life. I will read on briefly. This is how it was in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He said, if they do not speak in accordance with the law and the prophets, it is because they have no life in them. No life in them. That's true. They must speak in conformity with the law and the prophets. The prophets and everything else must be in conformity with the word. If not, it is wrong. So, the whole word, the Old Testament and the New Testament, the law and the prophets, everything must be in agreement. So, this word is the scripture from Deuteronomy, well known to us all. I will read it from the Bible, so that you can hear it clearly. From Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 21. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. This is actually a very easy thing to do. When something is announced, and you know very well that especially in the time from the beginning of 1979 to May 1979, the greatest things were announced. Days were mentioned here that were then shortened, and everything was one big hoax. None of it was true. Otherwise, it would have come to pass. And all who are affected will have to stand and bow so hard under it in the dust and ashes. There is no way around it. The second word, or first the quote, from page 17 here. Then there comes an exodus, and we see it, that the people themselves can see back down the stream of time, that the thing is cursed. They take a wedge and a fine Babylonian garment again. And that's the thing that brings the curse amongst the people. When man tries to inject his own ideas about things, keep in mind here the term a Babylonian garment. Do not forget the word curse and the train of thought to inject one's own ideas. And this was said in the context of the bringing out of the people of Israel, and then directly referring to the bringing in under Joshua, who suddenly realized that things were not going well. And he said, wait a minute, what's going on here? God is no longer in our midst. There is a standstill here, and the enemies have taken over. What's going on here? And it goes on to say in this quote, we got to stay with that word. The commandment of God was not to touch anything in that city, that cursed city. Don't touch it, leave it alone. And Achan thought that he could take this golden wedge and live pretty decently like the rest of the world with this fine Babylonian garment. Oh, look at the Achans in the camp. But the thing is cursed, and it continually is cursed. It was cursed since the very Nicene Council. It's been cursed ever since. But God has let the iniquity fill up until the time of the Amorites is about fulfilled. And now, anybody with spiritual understanding, remember, I keep quoting spiritual understanding. Here is a very special context. And that was the scripture that I then looked up right away, namely in Joshua, in the 7th chapter, Joshua chapter 7. We could or should actually read a lot, but I want to say and read as little as possible, and still say and read as much as possible, namely from different Bible passages, to make the point clear. Joshua 7, from verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Let us stop here for a moment. Something consecrated to the curse was taken away, and the curse came upon all. What we do against the will of God falls back on all of us. And here it says, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Most certainly, you have heard people say, if someone is under a curse, there is something that a person cannot handle. And there are certain things that are under a curse because they are cursed by God, and because they form a direct obstacle for God's people to go forward. Had not God revealed Himself mightily? Has not victory come one after another? Did not Joshua see the hand of God and the mighty deeds of the Lord along with those who had crossed the River Jordan? Of course. But now something happened, and I mean, we have to take notice of that. I read from verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. You all know what happened. The Lord had commanded that no one should touch the property that had been accursed. They were not to touch anything. That was the word of the Lord. If God had said nothing, everyone could have done what they wanted, and nothing would have happened. For instance, when the people of Israel came out of Egypt, God told them, Take gold and silver in any quantity. And the Holy Scripture says that God was favorable to the Egyptians, and that they voluntarily gave them every quantity, a thing that can hardly be understood humanly, but God had said so, and so it happened. After all, God directs hearts like rivers of water. Even the unbelievers can't help it. If God wants it that way, then they have to do it that way. It's just like that with God. He is the one who has every human being in His hands and can do what He wants to do. Here it has been said that nothing should be taken away and nothing should be touched. One thing that gives us food for thought here and that we must consider is this. First, the Babylonish garment. Where did this Babylonish garment come from? What was it doing there? They were not in Babylon. They were not somewhere along the Euphrates. They were here, in this area. They had already entered the land of Canaan. Where from and why this Babylonish garment? You all know the word Babylon stands for all the confusion that can exist. Babel means gate of God. Babylon means confusion. You see, even the two words are similar, and both can be close together, and yet one as far from the other as heaven from earth. Two things can be so close together, and yet so far apart, that they can never harmonize together. This Babylonish garment served to wrap up the other things so beautifully that they should not be seen. This man, he didn't look for a beautiful extra paper to wrap a beautiful package. He took the Babylonish garment and wrapped the thing in it. And everything, it can be gold and silver, as it is described here. When it is wrapped in a Babylonish garment, nothing comes but spell, curse, and confusion, and a stagnation among the people of God. And therefore, we must ask ourselves the question, and God's Word must answer it for us. I cannot answer it. God must do it from His Word, because my answer would be only one among many, and it would be human, and that does not serve in the kingdom of God, let alone untying the Babylonian garment a little and unpack it. You have to unpack things sometimes. And then, of course, it's not nice at all, at least not when you are honest with yourself and feel also very guilty. Then it's even harder. But this is not about me or anyone else being spared. This is about God coming into His own. And we know very well that it's not about a human being. We have said it often enough that spiritual things do not come from a man, but they come either from one side or the other. There cannot be anything else. But just there, where curses and spells come over anything, there is always inspiration involved. Every time. You can see it when anyone utters a curse. It is somehow an inspiration. We know it is from the other side. But these are not ordinary people who are saying it, but people who are somehow under a different influence. Now, it can also happen that the enemy, as we have read, can creep in and that he penetrates and that things come into the kingdom of God that do not belong in it and that do not agree with the Word of God. And I mean, if the following word is written in the prophet Ezekiel, then we have a right to read it and also a right to think about it. Here it says in chapter 13, "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature. Spoken in a figurative prophetic language, I ask you, sisters, please do not be angry with me. But why is the word here, who behave as prophetesses? Woe to the women! And we are going back. God willing, we are going back to the Garden of Eden tomorrow night. And you will see who was ridden by Satan, and then how the chain reaction went on. And you will see that in all this intrigue, there were only women, and they took a few men as slaves, as their henchmen. That's how it was, and no different. And under it, all must bow down and repent in sackcloth and ashes before Almighty God. There is no other way. And when it is written here, "Thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women who sew together magic bandages," not just bandages, magic bandages. "If someone behaves as a prophetess according to her own will, then it is not only a bandage, then it is a magic bandage. And if it is a magic bandage, then it is a spell. And if it is a spell, then it must be broken in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is no other way." We read on. "Who sew bandages to all armholes," no matter how big someone is, no matter how thick the head, for every head, the clever head and the stupid, the tall and the short can come. They always have the right measure, and they can tell everyone what fits into their heads. That's what they can tell him. Do you think the scripture makes empty words? Do you think God is joking here? God speaks seriously and again seriously, and He wants to show us these things. He wants to break the spell, remove the curse, and lead His people out into freedom. It says here, "to all armholes." Sure, everyone also moves the hand, and the right measure is taken here, don't you worry. The head too, the right cover for everyone. Of course, the cover is then put over it, and then the people are covered. Then you have them by the hand, because it speaks of the wrists, and then you have filled up their head according to the right measure, and no one can find their way around anymore. It's a Babylonish garment in which everything has been wrapped, and what has become of it? A great catastrophe. Almighty God is able, as in the days of Joshua, to give grace and to give freedom. Then it continues here, "to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls alive that come unto you?" Here's the thing. Anyone who agrees with them, of course, that's a fine thing. And anyone who doesn't agree with them will be scolded impossibly. They won't recognize themselves anymore. They won't know if they even look human anymore. And by that, you can recognize the sin of witchcraft. A man of God and a cause of God is without respect of person. You do not sort out from right to left, or from left to right, or from top to bottom, or from bottom to top. You leave it up to God. And what has been done? Everything has been sorted out. Yes, of course. You keep souls alive that come unto you. Of course. And then it says, "Ye hunt the souls of my people." How many have been carried away who belong to God's people? And these bandages shall be loosed, and these head covers torn in the name of the Lord. And the people shall go out free, and God will give us all pardon and grace. One could go on reading here, for some things are written. Here is the last part of verse 19. It makes me think, of course. It says here, "by your lying to my people that hear your lies." There has never been a time when the lying spirit and slander and all that goes with it is so common here, "and save the souls alive that should not live." by your lying to my people that hear your lies. And unless the people realize it, and this shortly, those who will not realize it will miss the mark, because they will go on under the influence of that spirit, and people must be snatched away from this influence. I say again, we are not here to judge. And if someone says to another, huh, this or that, stop talking about it among yourselves, but let us pray that God will send His word, that these people will be helped, because you and I also need to be helped. Why should we open our mouths about others when we ourselves are in need of deliverance and God's help? But God will help us together. Here, in verse 20 it says, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic bandages, wherewith ye hunt the souls. Souls are not only captured by binding. It is not just a simple rope that anyone can cut. It is written here, wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic bandages, wherewith ye hunt the souls, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly like birds. This is God's holy word, and this we believe with all our heart and soul, that God will break these bonds and let the souls called to freedom fly out like birds from the cage. Verse 21, your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Do you know that such people come under the power of these people? People who do not speak from God bind others to themselves and exercise power over them like the Catholic Church. And it is the same spirit, the Babylonish garment, and the thing must be torn asunder, and the liberty of the children of God is proclaimed in the name of the Lord. All who will but hear it and accept it. And you know, I love these people with all my heart. That is the strange thing. You may say, Brother Frank, isn't that a contradiction? No, only for the head, but not for the heart. When our Lord had to rebuke Peter, did he have anything against Peter? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all had changed in the relationship between Peter and the Lord. And my relationship with these people has not changed. But with the spirit to which they are subject, I have nothing to do with that. That is the difference. And I believe that all of us who want to stand our ground before God, and I also include the rest who are not here tonight, that God gives us grace, that we can come to Him, and that He takes care of us anew, and that He can bless us anew. Now you may say, huh, now you have found someone to go out freely. I'm not saying that I want to go out freely of my own accord, and I'm not saying that someone else should be stuck somewhere in it. I'm just saying that I'm just as guilty as anyone else, and that we all have the Lord's hand extended to us and can go out free by the grace of our God. For what is right for one is right for another, and we are all dependent on the grace of God. And what happened to someone else yesterday may have happened to you tomorrow. And we are all only human and forgetful and weak. But God is the Lord. And the Lord speaks to His people, saying, "How shall you know whether I, the Lord, have spoken?" And He says, "If what is said does not come to pass and is not fulfilled, then I, the Lord, have not spoken." And I tell you, when the Lord God speaks, there is grace, love, forgiveness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. There is no hatred, no murder, no manslaughter, no slander, no betrayal, and all this. Where the work of God is, there is heaven on earth. But the enemy has known that God is up to something special. Today, he should take note that God is going to carry out the plan He has made. That's how it is, and not otherwise. And we trust our Lord with all our heart. He will make it well. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You together, also tonight, for Your powerful word of truth. We thank You, Lord, that You have begun a work and that You will finish it. Lord, we see that this is not the first time that Satan has taken a running start in these days, but it was no different in the days of old. For Satan has always sought to destroy Your work and to destroy that which You have established. Lord, that is what he has tried to do here. But You are the Lord over all. Praise be to Your holy name. And we command this Satan, he is unmasked this evening hour by Thy holy and precious and true and everlasting word. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. He is the victor of Golgotha. We give Him the glory, and every power of darkness is broken in this hour in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Lord, we thank You that You give clarity to Your people, and not only today, but we see it in the Holy Scripture that You have always been able to do so. Glory to Your wonderful name. O Lord, what shall we say to You? We say thank You, Lord. It is not of us that it has come, but it is Your grace, and Your mouth has spoken, and You can restore all things, O Lord. Hallelujah. Praise and honor, glory and worship to Your wonderful name. Lord, we are Your people. We are Your children, Lord. No one need go from this place in despair. But we are joined to You, Lord, because we believe Your word. Hallelujah. And those who were imprisoned have been set free. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen.